I'd like to thank the congregation for the overwhelming response to last week's messages on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Had lots of great conversations with different people. I know some of our elders have as well. And I'd like to thank you for that response. And so as we get in today's sermon, we're going to have an abbreviated sermon here this morning. If you don't know if you noticed in the back, but Church of Christ Care Center is in the back. So I'm going to preach a shorter sermon, and we're going to close out the worship service. And at the end of the worship service, we're going to have Brother Doug and Dave come up and to give a short presentation. So after the closing prayer, we would ask that you, so, you know, sit back down in your seats and give them a moment of your time. And so today, we think about love, right? I love Ed's comments that are for the Lord's Supper here this morning, because love is so very important. When you open up the pages of the Bible, you see love right from the beginning, from the first page to the last page. You see the love of God. The Bible actually has been called the greatest love story that's ever been written. And brethren, I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person that learns best from watching. Right? I don't necessarily learn best from sitting down and reading a complicated book on a process. I actually learn better from watching somebody's example, watching how somebody does something. I don't know about you, but there's this little thing called YouTube. I've fixed so many household appliances by going to YouTube. I pull it up. I watch how the process is done. I'm like, I could do that. And I go out and buy the parts, and I fix the furnace, and I fix dryers, and I fix ice makers, and so many things, because that's how I learn. And so, brethren, when it comes to our understanding of God's love, He gives us the best life-size example of God's love, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And never has there been a better example of the love of God than Jesus Christ. In the love of Christ, we can do what? We get a front row seat to the greatest love story. You guys understand John 3:16. Everybody, all our children, most of our adults could recite this this verse. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should what? Never perish, but have eternal life. Brethren, it's that selfless love of Christ that brings us hope. It gives us forgiveness, and it also demonstrates the love of God embodied in Christ Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, I think of the Apostle Paul. For the Apostle Paul, when he was writing his letter to the church in Philippi, he was writing his letter and he was addressing selfishness, and he was addressing the congregation because of the strife that it was producing within that congregation. And when Paul wrote to that letter, what was his response to the selfishness? What was his response to the rift that was taking place within that congregation? He wrote to them about love. He instructs them to look to Jesus Christ, to look at the love of Christ and how Christ showed His love and gave an example of His love throughout the entirety of His earthly ministry. And so look at the unselfish nature that empties Himself for ours. If you go to Philippians chapter 2, you can see how it talks about how Jesus gave up the power, the majesty, and the glory that He had with the Father before the foundations of the world. And so while that letter that Paul wrote instructs the people of Philippi to look to the love of Christ, brethren, we know that throughout the ministry of Jesus, we see the unselfish nature of His love. Look at the servant qualities of Christ. Look at the humility that Jesus displayed on a regular basis, and realize that this kind of love, it comes from what? That type of love can only come from making a choice. And so oftentimes we realize that love is a choice. And Jesus, He chose to love us. He chose to love His creation, and He modeled out what perfect love looks like. And brethren, as disciples of Jesus Christ, He expects us to do what? He expects us to model the love that He modeled for us. We are to be God's representatives to the world. And so we take His love, His kindness, His humility, His generosity, and all the other adjectives that you could throw in there, we take it out into the world to let those in the world know that there is someone who loves you. The Creator of this world loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus chose to love us, and He chose to model that love for us. Many of us often see love as this warm and this fuzzy feeling. And if you see love as a warm and fuzzy feeling, you're either young or you're new into your relationship. Because you realize, brethren, that love is mainly a choice. And love is not always a pleasure-filled fantasy land. In 1975, there was a band named Nazareth. And they recorded a song that kind of captures an important reality when it comes to love. And the name of the song that this band Nazareth wrote was called Love Hurts. You guys probably have heard this song. You probably know this song. It certainly hurt for our master and our Lord and Savior Jesus, did it not? Love will hurt for you too. When you embody the love of Christ, you'll find out that love hurts. Because you're going to take the message of Christ, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to take it out into the community. You're going to take it out into your workplace. You're going to take it out and spread it within your family. And you're going to find out that love hurts. Because not everybody's going to have the same type of response that maybe you had to Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, do you want to know what love is? All you have to do is look throughout God's word and you'll find it. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ and you'll experience the love and the power in the cross of Jesus Christ. Never forget, brethren, that love, well, it's a choice. Love is a choice, and remember that true love has action behind it. As we begin another week, I would encourage each and every one of us to be determined to let our love for God manifest itself to others so others could see Christ in us. Because as we do that, brethren, you're going to get a positive response from more than you would from others. I would like us to consider 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's open our Bibles here for a minute. I'm only going to have a few more minutes, and then we're going to get ready to close our worship service down and turn it over to our brothers, Doug and David, who are here from the Church of Christ Care Center. But before we do, I want us to read the chapter on love. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. I want us to see what God has to say about love, because I want us to be determined to let our love for God manifest itself in our service to others. Because if you understand the love of Christ, you understand that we are to be other-centered and not self-centered. And when I see 1 Corinthians chapter 13 starting in verse 1, notice what the scriptures tell us. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, to remove the mountains, but do not have love, the scriptures tell me that I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, well, it doesn't profit me anything. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. And then in verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Brethren, that is what God has to say about love. That is how Jesus lived his life. That is how Jesus conducted his ministry for 3.5 years. When you want to see the greatest example of love, you look to the cross of Jesus Christ. You look to the cross and you'll experience the power that real sacrificial love had, that it shows us and sets the example for us to take forward. Brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to strive to love God, love God's people in the way that God does. Because God loves us with a sacrificial love, and that's the type of love that he calls from us. You know, that agape type of love that you've heard ministers and Bible teachers talk about for many years. God's love, God loves every person, and so should we. God loves the unlovable, and so should we. God loves the sinner. And so should we. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner. There's a difference. And if you don't know what the difference is, get with me and we'll do a study on that. For God loves the sinners, and so should we. He loves the people even when they hurt him. He still has love for them, and so should we. Brothers and sisters, if Christians truly loved people in the manner and in the spirit in which Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, loved his creation, can you imagine the response? Can you imagine what society would look like? Can you imagine what this nation would look like if we had the type of love and showed to the world, manifested to the world, the love of Christ that we've experienced? Can you imagine the difference it would make in our communities, in our workplaces, and within our family units? Because you would love the unlovable. You would love the sinner and wish for his repentance. Wish and hope and pray for his, what? His turning away from sin and into a life of godliness. Brethren, society and culture would be turned upside down if we would start to love as Jesus Christ loved us. Brothers and sisters, may our light shine so bright that as we go out into the world, that the love for others will lead them out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. We need to have that type of love that we could turn this world upside down. You know, it was 12 individuals from Galilee that turned the world upside down in the first century. Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of love, went out into the world and he had to deal with all the temptations of this life. He had to deal with those who disrespected him. He had to deal with enemies. He had to deal with those who were looking to kill him. Any of you have somebody looking to kill you? Any of you have somebody looking to bring you down at any cost? You see, brethren, Jesus had to deal with so much more than many of us will ever have to deal with, and yet he did it with grace. He did it with love. He did it with compassion and gentleness. Jesus had a way of rebuking somebody that they could walk away and still feel loved. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to not always take everything to heart, and we need to love as Jesus loved, be willing to forgive as Jesus forgave. And if we do that, brethren, I'm here to tell you that the message that we're going to start to share with people, the message that we're going to share and that we're going to show them, is a message of one that is going to cause them to want to reflect on their lives and hopefully depart from a world of darkness into a world of light, into the love of God. If you're hearing this message today and you have more questions on the love of God, maybe you're newer to the congregation, or maybe you're visiting today and you have questions about the love of God, brethren, we could help answer those questions for you. We could hopefully show you and manifest the love of God to you if you'll give us that opportunity. Maybe you're not a child of God here this morning, but that's your desire today, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for God to pick you up and to add you into the kingdom. If that is your desire, come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.